If you're really confused about nutrition, especially as it pertains to climbing, I've got you covered. I've been working with climbers exclusively as a nutrition professional since 2013, and I've been seeing nutrition clients since 2007. I have a lot of years of figuring out what works for climbers, and I made a program called Nourish, where I go through my process that I take my clients through, and I give you way more education than I even do with them, because I give you 4 hours of video with me covering things like how to analyze your own diet log, how to time your meals and snacks properly, how to create a diet plan for yourself that doesn't involve major changes. Just small tweaks here and there can make a big difference. I go through things like healthy fat loss, if that's a goal of yours, optimizing a plant-based diet, talking about food quality considerations, and I go through digestive things such as bloating, gas, heartburn, and food sensitivities. I also talk a little bit about the keto diet and intermittent fasting for climbers. All of this can be found at trainingbeta.com/nourish, and this program will give you everything you need to improve your diet so that you can climb harder, have more energy through the day, and recover faster. trainingbeta.com/nourish. This is the Training Beta Podcast, and I'm your host, Neely Quinn. I'm reporting to you live here from Rifle, Colorado, where I have been sieging my project for a week now. I moved here in the pursuit of sending, and or at least in the pursuit of doing as well as I possibly can this season. And so I've been a little bit silent lately. I guess my work-life balance has trended a little bit more towards life this month, but it is September, so I'm giving myself a little bit of grace, and hopefully so are you. There's some really nice temps happening right now, and I am doing okay on my project, and I am still trying to figure out a few logistics, including my eating at the crag. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about all this whole episode is food at the crag, what meals and snacks to bring with you, how to prepare in the days leading up to like a big day at the crag, and how to eat in order to recover really well the next day as well. I can't tell you how many clients I have who feel like they have to eat very little on a climbing day because they want to feel light, in quotes, and eating makes them feel heavy. And so they choose to not eat very much, or they can't eat. Like they don't have very much of an appetite. And that's just the way that it always goes when they go to the crag and they don't eat, and that is just their norm. And when I work with people, typically I try to explain that when we're trying to perform our best, we do need food, and sometimes we need a lot more food than we would on a typical day like sitting at your desk. And sometimes we have to force feed ourselves. So it can be uncomfortable, but if we find the right foods, it actually becomes not so uncomfortable and quite enjoyable. So that's what I'm going to talk about here. This recording coming up is from that 5-day nutrition challenge that I hosted in 2020. And it was 5 days of different topics. I did a little lecture on carbohydrates for climbing, protein for climbers, meal timing, and calories. And then, so this is the final one. And I've linked to all of those episodes in the show notes if you want to check those out. They're about 15 minutes of talking. And then this was recorded in front of a live Zoom audience. So then I took questions from the Zoom audience from the chat. So that's what this one's going to be like too. I'll talk for a bit and then I'll get to questions at the end. And yeah, I hope that this helps clarify some things that I see work really well with clients, because what happens when I do work with them and they do implement these changes, so many times people are like, oh my gosh, my capacity was higher. I could try more roots or boulders in a day and still feel strong. I felt more recovered the next day. I didn't feel super tired. All of these things. So I see it change people's performance literally overnight. And so again, I say this all the time, but nutrition really is low-hanging fruit in terms of our performance and recovery. So I hope this helps you, and I'll talk to you on the other side. Thanks for listening.
Okay, let's get started. Thanks everybody for joining me. I'm Neely Quinn. I have really enjoyed doing this with you this week. I've never done this before, and it's been a great learning experience for me and hopefully for you too. I'm wondering if anybody's had any successes through this week that you would like to share in the chats. I'd love to hear. I've seen a lot of great stories in the Facebook group about making changes or at least making observations in their diet and hoping to make changes in the future. So if you want to share those, it's okay. If you don't, I know that's pretty private, but if you do, I'd love to hear about it in the chat. So today we're going to be talking about crag food, which is something that can be really confusing. And obviously everybody has something different that works for them. But I have noticed in the last 3 years since I like really dialed in my own crag food that I actually had the best last 2 years of climbing of my life. And I don't think it's a coincidence at all that I've been able to like double the number of 513s that I've ever done in my life in that time. And I'm just like really diligent with what I bring to the crag to eat. And so my energy is always high. And I'm going to tell you today about that. And then I'll take questions. So we'll just get started. So we're going to talk about what to eat at the crag, but also what to eat the couple days leading up to like really high effort climbing days outside in order to increase your energy. And like I said, your all day stamina. So the first thing to know is that climbers use carbs for a lot of the work we do. We're different than like long distance runners in that we do, like I've talked about, anaerobic exercise as well as aerobic exercise. So anaerobic is any sort of like power, strength moves, quick burst activities. So like powerful moves, max effort moves, short boulders or short bouldery sections of routes. These are all like a lot of anaerobic work. And anaerobic work uses carbs, and aerobic work uses carbs as well. And we do some aerobic work while we're climbing too, for sure. So we need carbs to get us through those times, whether those carbs are coming from foods we're eating or as a highly fat adapted person from stores in our liver. But even as a fat adapted person, I think that we need to be using carbs methodically to fuel our climbing. And most of us aren't super fat adapted people, so we're not going to worry about that today. And that takes some work to do. So for everyone else, we need carbs, and we need our glycogen levels to be topped off leading up to the day that we're trying to go outside, like put hard sunburns on our projects, or like have a really good on-sighting day, or just have a fun being able to climb all day long, right? But let's back up a minute. So a lot of people think that eating lightly on climbing days will help them feel light while climbing. But not eating enough, as we've learned this week, can make you feel sluggish and tired and easily fatigued and like easily pumped. So that's the opposite of light. You want to figure out the foods that don't make you feel bloated or tired. So that's the kind of thing that's making you feel heavy when you're climbing, is eating foods that don't agree with you, eating the wrong types of foods. And so we want to experiment with different starches, sugar sources, protein sources, vegetables, and then common food sensitivity triggers like gluten and dairy throughout like your normal work week when you're not trying to perform, to figure out what makes you feel bloated and tired and what makes you feel good and energetic. Then you take only those foods to the crag with you so that you can eat throughout the day without having those tired feelings and bloatedness. So when you're at the Crag, you're going to want to eat your normal meals on those days at the normal times. And this is super important. Last year, I found this out the hard way when I was projecting a route 2 days a week. And some days I would just lose track of time, as we many times do when we're climbing. And I would skip my normal lunch time, and I would definitely feel it. And it was really hard to come back from that after I had skipped that time. So I put myself on a schedule every day, and it worked really, really well. So your body gets used to that schedule that you have throughout the week. And if you just skip lunchtime while you're out climbing, your body's going to feel it and make you feel tired and, again, easily pumped. So time your meals appropriately, or split them up evenly through the day. So like, you could do half of your lunch at one time, then an hour later have half of your lunch, and so on. And you want to bring as many meals out to the crag with you as you're going to, as you would normally have had meals in that time. So if you're going out from 8 to 7, like 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., you need to bring breakfast, lunch, dinner, or if you eat breakfast before a lunch, snack, dinner. So you're also going to want to bring snacks, especially carb-heavy snacks. This is the time to eat sugar. So try to find or make the simplest sugary foods you can find, meaning that they're made with very simple ingredients that you absolutely recognize. So like cookies, other pastry type foods, fruit is fine, but we're looking for glucose to fuel us most efficiently. And most fruits are mostly fructose, which is more difficult for us to use as energy. So this is also only if you're going out for a long day, like hiking to get to an area and climbing all day. You don't necessarily need to change much if you're just going out for a few hours to a place you can like drive up to. Maybe just a little sugar within 30 minutes of actual sunburns, or like whatever route you're trying to onsite or do well on, or boulder. The amount of extra calories and carbs depends on the person, but you can add in like 30 to 50 grams of extra carbs per 1 hour of actual work that you're doing up there. And that would include hiking, climbing, and whatever else you're doing. So then the days leading up to your big high effort days outside, you're going to want to make sure your glycogen levels are topped off. Your glycogen, we store glucose in our muscles as glycogen. And that is partly what fuels us up climbs. So we want to have your muscles have as much stored energy in them as possible. You don't need to like carb load like runners used to do and often still do. It's unnecessary and excessive. And it's a fine line. It's a fine balance to strike, because you want to have enough glycogen that you have tons of energy. But with every gram of glucose you store as glycogen, you store like 4 grams of water, which can put weight on you. So you don't need to go crazy with this. So just add like 25% more carbs to 4 of your meals leading up to the big day outside or the big weekend or whatever. Meaning if you're going to go out on a Saturday, you start on Thursday night adding more starch to your meals. You don't have to like load up on sugar. So then continue that for the next day. So do the same thing on your breakfast, lunch, and dinner on Friday. And then Saturday, you should be good to go. And you'll have those extra carbs to fuel you through that day too. So this can vary by person, but that's a good place to start and experiment with. And this is a hard balance with a weight loss phase. Like if you're trying to lose weight, then you're going to go up and down and up and down. But it's totally possible to do it. So some ideas for foods you can bring to the crag. Honestly, all of your normal foods, like all those foods that we just talked about, you knowing are good for you. Put them in a Tupperware in a little soft cooler pack with an ice pack, and you should be good all day. But bars, cookies, like healthy cookies, bread, honey. I just bring like a little thing of honey out there with me and put it on bread, or just eat spoonfuls of it, honestly. Natural candies. So your assignment is to try this before your next big outdoor climbing day or weekend and see how you feel. And I can almost guarantee that you'll feel better. Like almost every one of my clients who's done this has felt better. So it can be pretty miraculous. And I will take your questions right now. So let's talk. So some people have some comments about what they've noticed. I've discovered I'm consuming a depressingly small amount of protein. And I've heard that a lot from people, that they've realized that they're eating a very little protein and they're going to try to make changes. It was eye-opening to think I was getting enough protein, but to chart it, and even on a high-protein day, to realize I was maxing out at 20% protein. Glad to know that I need to chart my food every once in a while. And I even need to chart my food every once in a while still. So it's like you chart it, and then you slip back into habits, and then you chart it again, and then you just learn over the years. Pastries at the Crag from Johnny. Yes, of course. But like high quality pastries as much as you can. Should protein levels be decreased when increasing carb intake leading up to glycogen storing? Let me read that again. Should protein levels be deep? No, you don't need to decrease protein levels. You definitely don't want to decrease protein levels because that's going to decrease your energy levels. So you're basically just adding calories that day and a half before a big day out. And that it's gonna maybe give you some water weight, but it's totally fine. You'll use it when you're climbing, and it's fine. So no, don't decrease protein levels. If we eat all of our calories for the day, we are maintaining weight and know the calories are right, but we are hungry after dinner, especially if the hunger might make it hard to sleep. How should we handle that at the moment? Eat, yes, eat. Sometimes I'll have that happen too, where I just won't eat enough during the day, or for some reason I'm just hungrier in a day. And so I just eat something at night. And the same rules apply. Like, you just want to make sure that it's something that you know you're going to digest well. Like, if you're lactose intolerant, don't eat a bunch of cheese right before you go to sleep. And don't eat a ton. Try to just eat as much as it's going to take for that hunger to go away, because otherwise you're going to maybe keep yourself up by digesting through the night. If you eat all of your calories for the day, it just changes every day how many calories you need, and we're hungrier some days than others. And it doesn't really matter too much what macros, honestly. Sometimes for some people, eating some sugar right before bed can help them sleep. It's like a little bit of a sedative. And sometimes people can't deal with that. They don't feel good. So they just eat a few nuts or something, or a little bit of chicken, or like I have applesauce and collagen. It's a weird mixture, but applesauce and collagen a lot of times after dinner. So just whatever macros agree with you. What about hydration at the Crag, especially for women in high hormone phases? I like a homemade electrolyte with salt, maple syrup, and lemon juice. And that's totally fine. But know that the electrolyte mixes, like the Scratch Labs one, they do have potassium in there. They have salt, obviously sodium, and in higher amounts than you're going to get from a little bit of lemon juice. So you might want to invest in one of those. I have no affiliation with them whatsoever, but get a recipe for one, and maybe you already have, and that's totally fine. But I would just say, yes, have water, and especially as women, yes, we do need more carbs a lot of the time, and so a hydration mix, electrolyte mix like that would be really great. Sometimes on Crag days, I feel like I have good energy while I'm out there, but once I get home and eat, I feel exhausted and end up wanting to take a nap and feel like my energy is low for the rest of the day. Is this an indication that I can eat better, or is this normal? No, I wouldn't say that that's normal. And if it sounds like you're having morning Crag days and then you come home in the afternoon, if you're tired at night, that's totally normal. And then you just go to bed. But if you're taking a nap, so that reminds me of how people will work out really hard in the morning in a fasted state or without enough food in them. And then they're tired for the rest of the day. And I've seen that happen a lot. And so I would just encourage you to make sure, first of all, the day and a half before that you're eating properly. And then the morning of, eat a proper breakfast, like with the macros I've been talking about and the calorie amounts, make sure your calories are up there. Then make sure that you're eating right after your hike up to the Crag. And then you're eating after your first pitch and after your second pitch, like just keep eating through the day. And then make sure that you're eating right after, and it should clear up. I would look at your macros and see if you're really low in carbs, because if you are, that will make you feel really tired too. And it doesn't even have to be really low. You could be 35% carbs and actually need 45% or 40, and that 5 or 10% could throw you off a lot. My biggest days in the mountains have been on almost no sleep, little breakfast, and just a few bars during the day, all because of the nervousness. Yeah. Adrenaline can do that. So adrenaline, one of the things that it does is it makes your liver push out glucose and like stored glucose into your bloodstream. And so it can make you feel like you have that energy, and then just those stress hormones make you like, you know, go. So it can be that. You also might be one of those people who, and this happens with a lot of times with, for whatever reason, like bigger built men in my experience, where they're more able to go without very much food on big days. And I don't know why, and there's probably no scientific evidence, but those are the people I hear say that. And I think it's just because they have more body fat stores, not that they have more body fat, but just like they have a bigger body to store it in. So it could be okay, but I would definitely recommend, especially if you're not recovering for days after those big days out, to eat more, bring more food with you. You know, like canned fish, canned chicken, things like that, where it's really easy to pack it out and put protein powder in your water bottle and sugar, you know, or hydration mix. This has been well useful, Neely. Feeling quite smug as I've been doing lots of the right things already. Some big errors though, one of which is not eating anywhere near enough fat. Do you have any tips for eating more fat? That's the easiest one to change, because if you're making, say oats for breakfast, you just pour a little bit of coconut oil in those oats, or coconut milk, or have an avocado on the side if you're having something else on the side. If you're having a saute, you just make it with more olive oil or more butter or whatever fat you use. If you have a sandwich in the afternoon, just put avocado on it or more whatever fat you have. If you have dinner and you're cooking, you know, roasting vegetables, just add more fat, more olive oil or whatever fat you use to roast those. A lot of times people, we're afraid of fat. We've been taught to be afraid of fat. And so you just pour on more of whatever fat you're already using. I once did a very low carb week before climbing and used Cytomax at the crag and seemed to have more energy for laps than I ever had. What's going on there? I don't know, because I don't know what else you were eating, what kind of body type you have, things like that. But sometimes when we do go very low carb, you might have lost like 4 pounds in that week, and that can help you feel like you have more energy for laps just because you're lighter. Or it could be that your body just responds well to a lower carb diet, and maybe you had enough fat in your diet to compensate. It's confusing that it was just for the week, because usually after a week of low carb, people feel really bad. Maybe you had more caffeine in you that day and you were running off that. I'm not really sure. Sorry. Do a few more. I heard you mention fruit a couple of times. Is that something you recommend reducing or limiting? I eat bananas usually for energy while climbing. So bananas are one of those fruits that actually do have high glucose. It's like pretty much half and half glucose and fructose. And so they're fine. But a lot of the other fruits, like mangoes, are super high in fructose. A lot of fruits are super high in fructose. And you can just look that up online, like fructose content of fruits, to see what you're eating. But yeah, I mean, I recommend reducing it if you're eating a lot. Like, I've had clients who come in and they're eating 7 servings of fruit a day, and it's totally messing with their macro ratios. So it just depends on how many you're already eating and how it fits in with your carb gram goals and your sugar goals. Tips for but fruit is good for you. Like, it's fine. Sometimes it makes people feel bloated though. Like, it's really common to have that happen. Gassy. Tips for approaching weight loss and food in a psychologically healthy way, avoiding increased obsessiveness, anxiety, etc. That's a very loaded question, Lauren. And that's like a whole course in itself. But basically, you need to at least get a baseline for where you're at. Log to see where you're at and get a baseline. And then you'll at least know, like, I need to increase my protein, I need to decrease my carbs, and just play around with that for a little while. But don't get obsessive about the logging. Just log like a few days worth of meal planning, basically, for yourself, and figure out a few days that would work well. And I've done this before where I'll put that in my FitnessPal, a few days worth, and then I'll just print it out and I'll put it on my fridge. And then at least I know, like, I need 5 ounces of meat, this many vegetables, this much oil, this much starch in each meal or whatever it ends up being for your particular diet. And then you can just switch out the ingredients in there. And then you don't have to be like logging obsessively all the time. But it's a process and it can take some experimentation to actually lose weight. But definitely don't go super low carb. Like you can lose weight on 35% carbs. You just might have to decrease your calories a little bit. You can lose weight on 40% carbs. I'll do two more. Can you suggest some examples of healthy sugary snacks? I think I did in the presentation, just like I'll make cookies out of four ingredients and bring them to the crag. I'll get these paleo friendly marshmallows. I think they're called smashmallows and they're like pure sugar and delicious, but they're pretty clean as far as foods go. Bread with honey on it. Bars are usually pretty high in sugar. So yeah. Okay. Last one. As a bigger built guy, I can definitely go with little food on a big day, but then I fall into that ravenous snacking afterwards trap. Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty common. So I would just say eat more. Yes, marshmallows like the prehistoric humans ate. I know it's not like the healthiest food objectively, but when used 30 minutes before a big activity burst, yeah, I'm going to eat that sugar because I'm going to use it right away and I'm not going to store it unless I'm eating too many carbs in general. So thank you so much for participating in this with me. I'm so happy and honored that so many of you have showed up. And so I'm going to try to keep giving you nutrition information and hopefully you use this to your benefit. And we are all shrouding the gnar very soon. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that talk all about crag food. And hopefully it gave you some ideas about little things or maybe big things that you can change about your crag days, whether you're bouldering or sport climbing or alpine climbing. I really encourage you to just make some small tweaks and then see how you feel. Just do some experimentation. We have the rest of our lives to experiment with food, which is really exciting. And it means that eventually we could find something that works really well. And knowing that those solutions are going to change over time, depending on how much you're training, how much you're climbing outside, what else, what other sports you're doing, and injuries and all of that. So just let it be a fluid process with nutrition. But if you want more help with all of this, I'm here for you. I do hour-long sessions. I do month packages with nutrition clients. And I have my Nourish program, which is a self-paced learning opportunity just for climbers all about nutrition from me. So you can find all of that at trainingbeta.com/nutrition. All right. Thanks so much for listening all the way to the end. And I'll talk to you very soon.